Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our awesome guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Justin Goodbread, a globally recognized business strategist, best-selling author, and founder of multiple successful ventures. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Tara. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. And before we get talking, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, your leadership story, so our audience gets to connect with you a little bit.
Absolutely. So I started my first company when I was 15 years of age, scaled it rapidly, exited that company when I was 21. And since then, I have started and sold 7 companies.
Wow.
I've had as many as a couple hundred employees to just a handful. Now I have the opportunity to coach business owners nationally here in the U.S. and even in Canada, where you're located, as well as speaking to thousands of business owners almost every week from a keynote or through our own podcast. So I've started my leadership journey many, many, many decades ago.
Yes, it seems like a lot of people do when their leadership, it just comes naturally over time, which is, you know, to hopefully to get to success where you are. So I know that a lot of, you know, business owners and companies want that financial success. And I know that's something that you do talk a lot about. I want to talk more specifically about how some of these leaders or business owners, globally, can lead effectively. And so I want to touch on one of your points that you refer to, which is purposeful impact as a leader and for leaving a legacy. So let's start with, what does that mean to you?
You know, we live in a culture, especially through the internet world, of hustle, hustle, hustle. Yeah. And many times we hustle for the dollar, or we hustle for the prestige or the notoriety. But I have this personal belief, not to get morbid right off the bat, but I have this personal belief that one day our time is going to come and we're not going to be here on earth anymore. And I picture myself, Tara, with hopefully my family around my bedside. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I can almost picture my family around my bedside, my closest friends. And I don't think they're going to care about the businesses that I started, the millions of dollars perhaps that we created through our companies, the people that we help. They're really not going to care about that. They're going to hopefully remember me as a dad, a husband, as a friend. And so to me, living a life of significance on purpose, impacting those around us, to me, that's what life is all about. And I've had the opportunity, Tara, to speak with very influential individuals, billionaires. I've had the opportunity to rub shoulders with some of the most elite business owners in the world. And it's often sad to me how quickly this hustle culture or the dollar or the accolades take the place of significance, of legacy, of honor. And I don't think many of us start that way, but that's just the nature of the beast that we ride as business owners and as leaders, that before we know it, we lose our identity. And so to me, it's pulling us back to, why are we doing this? What's most important? Why were we created? What are we really trying to accomplish? And, you know, I'm actually a faculty member at the Exit Planning Institute, a national organization that teaches executives and advisors how to help business owners exit. And there's a statistic I've never forgotten. And that is that after somebody sells their business, which is a very small minority of individuals who have businesses, only 4% are actually happy after they sell their business. They lost their identity. They lost their purpose in life. The divorce rate amongst leaders is dismal. I know families that have been torn apart. Kids don't talk to parents anymore. And it's all because of this thing around significance. Why are we in the leadership position? What do we truly hope to accomplish? That's why I'm passionate about that particular question that you asked.
Yeah. And I want to come back to the whole why and the purpose, because I talk a lot about this with my clients as well, when they feel like they're lost in the numbers, or that's the whole focus of the company, you know, and they're trying to help their team actually be more confident and come up with ideas and creativity. And I said, why are you there? What is your purpose? Not what is the company's purpose for your role or the company's goal on finances, but what is your purpose in the, like, why are you there? And I find that coming back and grounding that helps them understand better how they can actually lead people rather than leading numbers. Does that make sense?
It does. The way I say it in my own East Tennessee vernacular is this: there are 8.2 billion people in the world, and there's not another Justin Goodbread. There's not another Tara Lehman. There's not another individual that has our DNA and the skills and the talents that we have. And so I believe that we were created for a unique purpose that only we can fulfill. I believe that as long as we're walking in that calling, that highest and best use of our life, that as we discover our purpose, and we do at some point in our life, some of us discover it earlier, some of us discover it through trials, some of us discover it through successes, some of us discover it through heartache. But whenever we discover that purpose, if we realize that there's no one else on this planet who can impact the people that we have the opportunity and the privilege to impact, then it totally changes the diatribe and moves us from a self-centered position, like so many are today, especially leaders, who, what can we get from this, to a servitude position, to a position of like, how may I serve you? In fact, one of the things I teach in our coaching program with business owners that we have the privilege to coach is a simple philosophy. On Monday mornings, we teach, it's called a stand-up meeting, where you tell the team, hey, here's what we have to accomplish this week. And it's an alignment, almost like we like SEC football here in the South. And so it's like making sure all the linemen are facing the same end zone. So you're making sure all the players on your team or in your division are facing the same objective for that week. And then stop and get out of their way and let your team play. They're capable. Get out of the way. Don't micromanage. Then reverse it. Come back about 2 or 3 hours later after they've had the chance to collaborate on the mission for that week and ask them a simple question: how may I serve you this week? It's a PowerPoint. It changes the game. What you're doing as a leader when you say, how may I serve this week, is you're not taking on their responsibility. You're not going to do the job for them. You're simply subjecting yourself as a servant to them. You're putting yourself as someone who wants to see them succeed. They see it. Your team sees it. And ultimately, what you're saying to them is, I will do whatever is in my power to help you succeed in this mission. I got to tell you, Tara, it has changed my life whenever I started that about 25 years ago. It led my companies rapidly to scale on a national level. It helped companies come together. It broke through this ivory tower that oftentimes we in the leadership space find ourselves in. So it's just a simple statement that I love to incorporate in my own life.
And I love that you do it every Monday morning because so many leaders, as you probably know, and business owners, they focus on the end goal. Where are we at, December 31st or whatever their year end is? And again, the numbers, where this way we can say, okay, this week's mission is this, and it doesn't have to be about numbers. It will help the numbers. But what is it that we need to do now? Let's stop thinking about 12 months from now or 3 months from now or whatever that is. And the service-based, the servant-based type leadership approach, right? Just saying, how can I help you? Or what resources do you need? Or your famous question as well, right? How can I serve you? Are excellent ways to help us get to that mission on Fridays. So let me ask you this: does the mission by Friday always happen?
It's interesting. We teach companies how to rapidly scale, how to rapidly grow. And I believe that wealth in corporations and individuals is created exponentially in a short period of time. We teach business owners that they can take their company and double or triple the enterprise value. And we've done this with seven-figure, eight-figure, and nine-figure companies. So we show them that they can double or triple the enterprise value in as little as 18 months. In order to do that, we've all heard the big rock analogy before. Perhaps we've been students of EOS, the Entrepreneur Operating System, where Gino Wickman talks about getting your 90-day action plans. What we teach through our structure, to answer your question, is we take that one-year time frame and break it down into quarters or 90-day stints. Then we take those 90-day stints and we break it down into three objectives, and then ultimately 27 action items that have to be accomplished by specific individuals within the department or within the company over the next 90 days. So if me as the leader of my organization, of my division, of my managerial team, whoever position I hold, if I now know specifically what has to be done last week, what was accomplished, what was not accomplished, and what has to be done this week for us to hit our 90-day goal and ultimately our one-year or three-year goal, and I can keep the team aligned on a weekly basis, then the percentage of completion of those weekly accomplishments drastically improve. Most of our clients are able to accomplish the vast majority of those action items, that 90-day period of time, in less than 90 days. Why? Because you reap a harvest where you place an emphasis. Whatever you focus on is what you're going to find. And so, if me as a leader, if I'm able to make sure our team is succeeding, if I'm able to make sure that our team is positioned for their success, then I'm going to succeed vicariously through them. It blows my mind the self-centeredness of leaders in our society today. And it's part of the culture, it's part of the hustle culture, it's part of the self-serving. But I've been there. I've been there, and I've been raked over the coals, man. I've been hit from every which way to Sunday. And then finally, one person one time told me, they said, "Son," and it was a very influential man that spoke in my life. He said, "Son, you got these little rubber duckies, and they're running on the lake. And one day a motorboat's gonna come through and plow the rubber duckies." That was his way of saying, "Son, your pride's too high. It's not about you. It's about your opportunity to serve those among you." And what I've discovered and what I have personally experienced and what I have seen our coaching clients and many hundreds of business owners that we've coached over the last year or so experience is they benefit exponentially by simply removing themselves and allowing their team to function at their highest capacity.
Yeah, and I want to come back to the whole micromanagement piece because that is not how you grow people. And if you want to grow your organization, you need to grow people because the growth, and I'm a huge advocate for people need to continually learn. Leaders need to continually develop. There's no stop to it because as soon as we stop, and especially if we're business owners or high-level leaders, as soon as we stop, we start potentially crashing a company,
Yeah,
right? What are you,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So to me, whenever we're looking at leadership, it's all about allowing others to lead. And if we hire, if there was a point in our business, there was a point in our department, there was a point in our organization, whenever that individual that we have the opportunity to lead, that somebody thought that their skill set was needed for whatever reason. Now, they may not be in the right position. They may have gotten a little jaded because of poor leadership. They may have gotten a little jaded because of company culture. But somebody along the line entrusted us as a leader, either ourselves or somebody else, to lead this person to the mission that we are seeking to accomplish. If we put that as a framework, then our job as leaders is to bring out their very best qualities. It doesn't mean that we're to beat them up. It doesn't mean that we're to accept mediocrity either. It means that we are to lead them. We are to guide them so that they can excel. And if they excel, friends, we excel. It's mind-boggling to me how simple it is, but how painstakingly painful I make it oftentimes, or we make it as leaders.
Let me ask you this, because you obviously you coach and work with a lot of different people. What are the common challenges that are stopping from people from, say, leaving that ego at the door or leaving the numbers at the door? What are the challenges that our leaders and business owners are currently facing?
A lot of different challenges occur, but there's typically one root. The one root is pride. The one root is we can't get our own stinking way. Because many leaders are knowledgeable, they're successful in their own rights. We're tenacious. We wouldn't become leaders if we hadn't proven some sort of loyalty or success in our own merit. Maybe it's education, maybe it's experience, but some way or another, we've been promoted to this position of leadership by default or by design. And because of that, we often Me and many business owners and many leaders, we often get our pride. Our head gets too big for ourselves. So there are many challenges that come from that. You get misalignment on vision. The vision, because we can see in our head, and we often don't relay that vision to where we want to go or the calling that we have for the business. We don't relay it down line. We because of our pride, we don't trust the individuals because we've been burned before. We've had our hands bit, so to speak. The old saying, "Don't bite the hand that feeds you." We've had that. We've had times where people have not been loyal to us. As a leader, we're going to take all sorts of darts. It just happens. It's part of the territory. And so ultimately, what I see as the root for leaders many times is pride. It's never about knowledge. It's never about tenacity or gumption or skill. Never about that. Typically, it's typically that little word pride that gets in the way.
So how do we take a leader who, has the pride getting in the way, has their ego getting in the way, and build strategies to help them become a service-based or servant-based leader, however people want to see it? Because that is a massive shift. So do you have like some basic strategies to help people get started or strategies to get there?
Absolutely. When we're working business owners, who we'll often hear some things like, "Man, if I didn't have employees, I'd have a peaceful life." Or if I didn't, I heard one person just a couple of weeks ago that says, man, if I didn't have employers or clients, I'd have a great life. And I'm like, you would have no business in what you
Yeah,
have.
exactly.
But so I hear these things, and ultimately what it is poor leadership. Oftentimes poor leadership comes from not understanding the calling or the vision with clarity. You know, what happens in leadership is we're either given a vision or we create a vision, depending on what type of leader we are. So if you're a business owner, you're creating a leader, maybe you're a manager, or maybe you're an executive and you're taking the CEO's directive and you're trying to now report that leadership vision down line. Whenever we have a leadership problem where people are, where the leader's pride comes into way, it's often because there's a disconnect between how the vision is going to end up helping either the leader themselves, their downline, their customers, their prestige, whatever it is that's their driving factor. So what I've discovered and what I've noticed here is that those individuals who have that pride issue, whenever they get clear, crystal clear on what they need to accomplish within a set time frame, and now they look at the resources, i.e., their team members. When they look at the resources, you can simply create questions around now, how do we deploy your team at their highest and best use for you to accomplish this vision that you've been given or that you've set forth? Whenever there's no vision or when there is a lack of clarity and vision, there's often fear amongst either the leader or the team. But whenever that vision becomes clear, there's often not any fear. And so the pride ends up going away whenever I have clarity of vision. So whenever we see a business owner, then we identify that they're having some pride issues. We want to take them back to the vision, number one. Number two is this. Anytime that there is a vision or anytime we're going to move forward toward a calling or to an outcome, there will be resistance. Anytime. We're going to face resistance. You might call it change. You might call it turmoil. We as humans do not like resistance. We like the path of least resistance, as it's been said. We don't like change. So it's incumbent upon the leader to paint how the outcome of said vision is beneficial to the followers so that they will go through the fray, so that they will go through the resistance. And more importantly, the leader's job is to be the cheerleader. The reason why we have that is to cheer them on, encourage them, because we as humans, myself included, we don't like that turmoil. We don't like to go back and do things hard or create things differently or face that friction or face that downline reporting that we have to do. So if we see the vision, we have to know that there is going to be resistance. Now, how do we get through the resistance? Belief. We have to believe that what we're facing is worth the outcome. And so many times the leader themselves have not internalized that that outcome on the opposite side of resistance is worth us fighting to go through this resistance. So I break it down to clarity of vision, identify the resistance, and then let's work on our belief system. Let's work on our strength internally that, hey, this resistance we're going to fight is worth the outcome that we desire.
And I have to say, I'm in total alignment with you. I literally last week did some training with an organization's leaders, and we were talking about you have to align your team to the vision. Because if you don't align the team to the vision and you don't align yourself to the vision, right? No one knows what they're going for or fighting for. And so, I work with the leaders to create a vision for themselves, but then get with the team and what is your vision? For the team that helps you link to the vision of the organization. So everybody is on the same page because you're right. It can totally break an organization if a leader doesn't understand what the purpose is in the first place.
What's intriguing to me is having the opportunity to work with high performers. We work with a number of business owners who run multi-million dollars. We're talking 10 to 100 million dollars in top line revenue. And whenever they have a personnel problem, it's ultimately a leadership problem. John Maxwell famously said, everything rises and falls in leadership, right? And so whenever we take that A performer business owner or the A performer leader within a company and we break them down to the vision, many times I'll see their arms fold up, I'll see them cross their arms, and I'll see this resistance internally coming about, like, oh, that's kind of hooey. I was on a national board last week talking talking with a bunch of high performers on this particular company, and the CEO of this particular company literally in the back in a chair and says, I think that's too touchy-feely for what we need to deal with. And then literally one of the board members and myself said, and that's why you're facing it. That's why you're facing this internal resistance from your team, because you're not willing to actually identify the clarity of your vision. You're not willing to identify the reason why they're going to have to go through this resistance, this trouble, this turmoil in front of you. And they don't want to do that because they don't understand the payoff for said resistance. So what I often see is that the alphas, male or female within an organization, we can see it in our head. We know the benefit, but we never slow down enough to take and matriculate that down to our middle management or to our frontline employees to let them know, here is why this change or here's why this outcome is going to personally benefit you. We see it and from our ivory tower position, but oftentimes that resistance that we're facing from our team is because we haven't clarified the payoff for them specifically in this change or this dichotomy that we're going to go through.
Yes, I always encourage people to answer the why. Why does it matter to me that you have this vision? Or why does it matter to me what Justin's department does? Yep. They need to know so that they believe in what they're doing rather than it just be come to work, do my 9 to 5, go home, and I'm just not helping the business really, right?
Yeah, that's just going to force the leader, though, to face their own ineptitude many times, being candid here. It's going to force them to face the reality that their why of the why is often self-serving and it's not helping them. So why is that employee going to face the fray, going to face the challenges? Why are they going to go through this heartache? Why are they going to work more hours? Why are they going to spend time away from their family? Why are they going to put their personal self-development on to fight this battle for you if it doesn't benefit them in any way? And then I've heard leaders say, well, they got a job. Look, dude, they can go get a job somewhere else.
Exactly.
They're with you because at one point in your career, either you, the leader, or somebody else painted a vision that they bought into. And now with this generation beneath me, I'm a little older than many may perhaps might expect, but this generation beneath me, these millennials, they're not going to deal with that nonsense anymore. They want to get connected to a purpose. They want to get connected to something that's going to align them. And it's not the millennials don't know how to work. They're some of the hardest working people I've seen as of late. They just want to make sure that their hours that they're going to put in, they're when they deploy their skill set for their company, that it's going to yield a benefit to the said company or to themselves. And so many times we as leaders don't do the hard work to answer, as you just illustrated, the why. And I bring it back to that vision that resistance and ultimately the belief, those three things.
Yeah. Certainly as leaders, we have to get over that part of it because purposeful impact, as you said, well, our employees have purpose too. And if they don't understand it, then it doesn't, you know, it's not, no people, yes. Do we want a paycheck? Sure. Do we want benefits? Yeah. But we want a belief that we're there for a reason, right? Absolutely. So, you know, I love that is aligned, even how I see things, because we really do need to answer those questions for our employees. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you a question about the work-life balance when it comes to purposeful impact as a leader, because we do want to leave a legacy where people don't just see us as a numbers person. They don't remember anything. How can we balance our work and life so that when we do go, as you started the conversation about, you know, hopefully everybody's around you, that they're remembering you as that person, or even as the person who built a wonderful business that helps people, whatever that is for people that they want to be left with as a legacy. How do we get there? How do we build the work-life balance around that?
So I have a contrary answer to your question.
Sure.
I don't believe there's anything called a work-life balance. I think that is a myth. I think it's something that doesn't make sense to the reality. Ultimately, the way I say it is wherever you're at, be there. Wherever you're at, be there. If you're at work, be at work. If you're at home, be at home. If you're at a networking event, be at a networking event. If you're at a kid's soccer game, be at the kid's soccer game, whatever it is. But this idea that we're going to create this equalization between work and home is a misnomer. It's not possible. In the early days, there were times whenever I was working 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week because that's what the business demanded. And then there are times now where I'll take off 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I'm taking off 4 weeks in a row to be with my family because that's what my family demands. Ultimately, when we sit back and we look at it, the tool in which we could all utilize to find the harmony in work and life is a calendar. I believe you should live and die by your calendar. I believe that if we're going to calendar a networking event, a board meeting, a sales meeting, if we're going to calendar that on our calendar, then we should be just as important in our calendar to calendar the date night, to calendar the child event, to calendar the religious event, to calendar your time for you to get quiet. So to me, if you show me your calendar, I'll show you your priorities. If you show me your calendar, I'll show you where you're winning and where you're losing. It's not hard. It's almost like the old saying goes, you show me your checkbook, I'll show you where your priorities are. The same is true with your calendar. If you want harmony, not a balance, but if you want harmony to where you're able to juggle all the things that us as leaders have to juggle through work, through home, through friendships, through faith, whatever it may be, pull it down to the calendar and live and die by your calendar. If you can get to that point, then I don't believe there's a work-life balance, but I do believe you can blend the two together to gain the harmonistic life that you desire. And others are impacted. Others are left better whenever you're at your best position. So that's the way I believe on that particular area, Tara.
Yeah, and it's about absolutely being present with whatever it is you're doing, right? So if you are on that family vacation, leave work at home. If you're at that networking event, that's what you're doing and you're focused there only. You know, I've been to several networking events in my previous corporate life where the cell phone was everybody's, you know, I'm talking to someone and their cell phone goes, like, oh, just give me a minute. Be present. I'm here. We're chatting. Right. And so I think that that's a clear thing that also comes from the calendar. Right. It's let's be present when we are at these things for the people that we're there for, family or otherwise. Right.
Absolutely.
So I want to wrap up today with giving you a chance to share a big tip, key takeaway, something that our audience can take from you today that really helps them start with purposeful impact and building that legacy.
I'm a big proponent on mindset. I've been studying the mind now for over 35 years. And I think Henry Ford summed it up best with a simple statement. And in fact, if you were to ask anybody in my life, they would say, Justin's going to answer this question with a simple statement by Henry Ford. And that is this: if you think you can or think you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
Now that's not, to me, it's not frou-frou. It's not like if I think I can go beat Tim Tebow in a football game, then I'm gonna beat him. That's not where mindset is. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if we're given a vision, I believe God's created each of us uniquely and wonderfully made. I believe there's a vision for something that only we can do. If that's in your mind, then take a step back. You, whoever you are that's listening to me, you are more powerful than you can even imagine. You're gifted further than beyond your wildest dreams. You can accomplish more in a microsecond than your wildest dreams will imagine you to create. So to me, if you have that mindset, and you wake up every day saying, I'm going to lead with influence. I'm going to lead with impact. I'm going to lead today in a way that's going to be dynamic. I'm going to create something that is legacy creation. If you have that mindset, the friends are going to have it. I leave you with this story. Years ago, my dad and I were picking some blackberries. And we were in the middle of the woods, and we were finding these juicy blackberries. They were so sweet, Tara. And I said, Pops, I was like about 12 years old. Called my dad Pops. I said, hey, Pops, aren't you scared of rattlesnakes in the south here in Tennessee? There are rattlesnakes that if they bite you, it's not a good day. And he said, no, I'm not looking for them. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, if I look for them, I'll find them. Right now, I'm looking for blackberries. I'll find blackberries. And the next, now fast forward some 30 years, my son and I are picking some blackberries. He said, Dad, aren't you scared of rattlesnakes? I said, no, I'm not, because I'm not looking for them. He said, well, let's find some. A few minutes later, we found three. It didn't take us long. It took us less than 5 minutes to find three rattlesnakes. Before that point, we never looked for them. That's around the mindset. If you think you can or think you can't, you're correct.
And that's one of my favorite quotes as well. It's a great quote for mindset, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. So thank you for an amazing conversation today. I know that you had a gift for which we will put the link into the episode notes. But if our audience wanted to find you or learn more about you, can they do that somewhere online?
Absolutely. So you can look for Justin Goodbread anywhere. We're on Instagram. We have our own podcast called the Decamillionaire, Decamillionaire Decoded. We have a YouTube channel with I think several hundred hours of teaching business owners how to rapidly scale. And as you mentioned, the gift, we call it the Decamillionaire Blueprint. Business owners have no choice but to reach a $10 million valuation these days. And if you don't know how to do that, we actually have a 10-step process that business owners can look at, read. It's free of charge. It's there to help business owners in your audience rapidly scale their companies and reach their wildest dreams.
Well, thank you so much for the conversation and the gift for our audience today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Tara. Thanks for having me.
Of course, we thank you, our audience. We hope you gained some valuable insights and information in today's conversation with Justin. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a great rating. This helps us and our guests like Justin reach even more leaders with these helpful pieces of information, stories, tips, and tools too. We love helping other leaders grow and thrive, and we would love for you to consider our brand new Amplifying Leadership Circle community. More information is found at amplifyingleadership.ca/community-info. Leadership is better when we do it together. For more information about all of our leadership services, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.